welcome to the podcast of the Mission Del Rey, a spirit-filled multicultural church located in Delray Beach, Florida. You can find more about the mission and Pastor Carl Thomas at www.themissiondelray.com.
You can ride if you want to. You got a Bible, go ahead and turn to Exodus chapter 13. If you're visiting with us today, I want to say welcome to the mission. My name's Carl Thomas. I'm the lead pastor, and I will be your host for the morning. And we're in a new series. We call it Journey, you know, because we're all on a journey through life, whether you like it or not. You know, some people are driving. Some people are along for the ride. Some people are being dragged behind the car. Some people are going in the wrong direction. You ever see, this is funny, remember that movie, Trains, Planes, and Automobiles? Y'all remember that? John Candy and somebody else. Anybody remember? Am I dating myself? Thank you. I appreciate that. Check this out. There's a scene in the movie, right? And they're driving down the road, and they've had a really hard day. They've gotten crashes, and they're in the wrong city, can't get home. And they're on the freeway, and they hit something, and they spin around. They're like, oh my goodness, we didn't get killed. That's so awesome. Let's drive. And so now they're driving down the freeway, just, you know, zooming along, you know. And then they see somebody to their right on the other side of an embankment. And the people are yelling, and they're like, hi, what's up? And he's like, oh, they're trying to talk to us. Roll down the window. So they roll down the window, and the people are yelling, you're going the wrong way. He's like, what'd they say? You're going the wrong way. And the guy says, how do they know where we're going? He goes like this, okay. You know, and they're telling the people, you must be drunk because you don't know where I'm going. Little did they realize they were on the right side of the wrong, going in the left direction. They got spun around going in the wrong direction on the freeway. Now the people on the right side are going the right way. People on the other side are going, should be going the opposite, but they're going in the same direction. And that's how so many people live life. You're going the wrong way. How do you know where I'm going? Well, because I've read the book and you're going in the wrong direction. I've gotten to the end of the book, and I know some people will be going in the right direction, and some people not as good a direction. You know, and the people who read the book and have the book living inside of them can look at people and say, hey, guess what? I'm not here to judge. God has not given me the ability to judge. But from what I've discerned, you might be going the wrong way. Oh, how do you know where I'm going? Well, I see you're filled with the devil, and he's going to take that home, and you might just want to listen. So here we are in this journey through life, and we're going to talk about this journey that we have through life. And we're going to talk about different parts of this journey. Last week, who remembers last week's message? Wow. Whew. All right, nobody remembers it. I'll be preaching last week's message again today. So, it was about the call of God. And we talked about God calling us to do something. Today's message title is The Day of Deliverance. For some of you today, you may not know what that means. By the end of the day, you're going to say, sweet deliverance. Exodus chapter 13, verse 3. If you're there, let me hear you say, yeah. All right. Ready? Then Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of slavery, for by a strong hand the Lord brought you out from this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. Let me read it one more time. Exodus chapter 13, verse 3. Then Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of slavery, for by a strong hand the Lord brought you out from this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you that you're alive today. Lord, I thank you that I'm not just up here reading some dead book. I'm not here teaching a history class. Lord, I'm not talking about what you used to do. But Lord, I thank you that you're alive today. Lord, I thank you that you even desire to dwell in this place today. And Father, I am here with expectation that we're not going to multiply religion, but we're going to multiply life. Lord, I thank you that people are living in bondage, but you're going to set them free today. Father, I am expecting you, even during the preaching of the word, that your spirit will move and deliverance will come upon your people, that you will bring life, that you will bring open heavens. Lord, that you would convict us of sin and you would show us the direction. Lord, as we're on this journey, I pray that you would just illuminate the right path and make it so easy. Lord, I pray that you would even put barriers that we don't go in the wrong direction. I pray that you would guide me today as I preach. I pray that every word I speak may be life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you remember where we were at in our story last week, the Jews were in captivity, and this is a pretty famous story. The Jews were in captivity. They were in Egypt, somewhere that wasn't so good, wasn't their land, it wasn't the promise of God. And they were stuck, and they couldn't get out of it. They were stuck. Not only were they there, but they were slaves. You know, and that happens in so many of our lives. We run to something thinking it's going to be better. It's going to be the overflowing. It's going to be the prosperity. It's going to be everything we ever wanted, only to find out we're in bondage to it after a while. Right? You remember, the Jews originally went to Egypt because that's where the food was. And they had sold Joseph into slavery. Remember the story? They sold him into slavery. And he was the ticket out of the famine. But he annoyed them. He annoyed them, so they sold him into slavery. The ticket out of the famine, they sold into slavery. He got sold to Egypt. He helped Egypt get out of the famine. So the Israelites had to move to Egypt so they could avoid the famine. Here's a little nugget for you. Sometimes the words you don't want to hear is the key to your freedom. Just a little nugget there. The word that you're rejecting, the word that you gossip about your pastor about, the thing that, you know, your older brother in Christ tells you think he's out of his mind, that's probably your ticket to freedom. All right? That's just a little nugget. Write that down. Just think about it sometime. So here he was, and he's telling him, look, you know, here's God's going to do this, and God showed me he's going to do this. And they said, we don't really hear it because we think we're better than you. They sold him into slavery. He helped Egypt stay out of the famine. They had all the food, so the Jews moved to Egypt. And after a while, the Egyptians were like, you know, wow, I don't really think we like you anymore. How about you just become our slaves? And they're like, I don't think we want to be your slave. And they say, I don't really care what you want. You're going to be our slaves now. So they were slaves for 400 years, 430 years to be exact. And they're trapped in this system that they can't get out of. And Moses had grown up in that system, and he came out of that system. And God said to him, you're going to go back to that system, but no longer are you going to be trapped by it. You're going to bring deliverance to it. So Moses goes back. You remember last week, God said, look, here's what's going to happen. You're going to get them free, and here's how I'm going to prove to you I'm going to do it. You're going to obey me, and it's going to work. That's going to be your proof. It's like, okay, that's what I'll do. So God tells Moses, all right, here's what's going to happen. Bad things are going to happen to the Egyptians because they're not obeying me. All right? Now we catch up to where our story is right here. So what we see is there's a progression of plagues that come upon the Egyptians. And I get so tired of hearing Christians blaming stuff on the devil in their lives. How many of you know that if Pharaoh would have obeyed Moses in the very beginning, none of the plagues would have come upon him? Now, we know that God said that, look, he's going to have a hardened heart. But if he had listened to God all along, Moses would have shown up and said, hey, guess what? My God, yeah, he's God. And so you just probably want to listen and let him go. And if Pharaoh would have said, oh, okay, then, you know, none of these plagues would have happened. You know, let me just say this. Sometimes it's not the devil doing things in your life. Sometimes it's just your bad choices. Oh, the devil's working overtime against me, Pastor. I don't think the devil's got to work too hard to get you. I don't know, you know, I can't cast you out of you. You know, it's just, I wish I could, but I can't. And so the Pharaoh didn't really like Moses after a while because these plagues started. But how many of you know it wasn't Moses' fault? It was his own fault. If you're bound in debt today, you're bound in addiction, you're bound in sin, guess what? I doubt that God has anything to do with it. And more than likely, the devil doesn't have a lot to do with it. You know, he don't have to waste time on you, you know. Leave that alone. So first, he turns the water into blood. Remember this? First plague. Second plague, frogs. Third plague, gnats or lice. How about a plague of lice? That'd be something, right? That wouldn't be so good. Flies, the livestock got sick, boils on their skin, hail, locusts. Finally, when you see this prophetic picture, darkness. The prophetic symbol of this darkness is what happens when you've hardened your heart to the Lord Jesus. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 that if you stay in sin and reject the Holy Spirit long enough, he'll turn you over to that sin. The worst thing God can ever do to you is leave you alone. If you're a Christian and you're in sin right now and it's bothering you, praise God. If you have a miserable life, I'm really happy. That's just that makes me happy. Let me tell you why. Because the conviction is still there. That means the Holy Spirit has not abandoned you yet. Now, the moment the darkness comes upon you, if you're living with somebody and you're not married to them, it's not bothering you, that's a problem. If you're smoking out every day and it's not really bothering you, that's a problem. If you get in fights, if you getting drunk all the time, if you're acting like a fool and it doesn't bother you, you think it's okay and you kind of giggle at it, the Bible says only a fool laughs at sin. That's a problem. I'm not here to instill fear in anybody. But, you know, if God isn't there, that's a problem. And so we see the ninth plague, darkness comes upon Egypt. And the Bible doesn't say that that Moses warned them. On most of these plagues, Moses went to Pharaoh and said, look, if you don't repent, this plague is going to come. Darkness, he didn't do it. Why? Because truth already bears witness of itself. You reject truth long enough, what happens is the Holy Spirit comes and speaks to your heart. It's your soulish man. He speaks to your heart. And what we can do is we can learn to say no to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And we can learn to say no so well that we think he's no longer convicting us, when really we've just hardened our heart. And so conviction doesn't come. Godly sorrow leads to repentance, which brings salvation. If you don't have a godly sorrow for your sin, you're in a really bad place. And that's what happens to Pharaoh. Darkness falls upon that. The next plague, God says through Moses, guess what? Your firstborn sons, the firstborn of your animals, they're all going to die. They're all going to die. And at this point, his heart was so hardened, he couldn't repent if he wanted to. Romans chapter 1, I will turn you over to your sin. Bad place to be. Praise God, Jesus is not murdering the firstborn. There is time to repent. There is time to get right with God. But here's what happens. God says, look, the day of deliverance is coming. However, there's one more plague going to come. I'm here to let you know at the end of the age, one more plague is coming. At the end of the age, Jesus is going to take all those who are his and they're going to live with him forever. And those who've rejected him, death comes. I want to show you kind of the prophetic picture that we see here in the Exodus. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 7, here's what he says. God says, look, check it out. There's going to be a plague coming, but here's what I want you to do in preparation for it. Now, if God said to me very clearly, guess what? There's going to be a whole lot of death. I would get a little worried. That's just how I am. When God speaks, I kind of believe him. You know, and some people don't. I believe him. And if he says, there's going to be a lot of death coming, I'd be like, dude, that's probably not good. I don't. And so God starts talking to Moses about what's going to happen. And instead of saying, you know, comforting words and don't worry, it's going to be okay, I'm going to protect you. No, what he says is, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to kill lots of people, and you're going to celebrate every year from now until forever that I did it. Like, whoa. I mean, Moses is worrying about the safety of his people, and God is talking about the party they're going to have. I'm like, dude, where? Anybody got any small kids? You know how they'll do that? Like, you're trying to get out the door, and the kids want to talk about what happened in SpongeBob. You're like, this is not what we're doing right now. I've got other things happening. But God isn't a small child. He's God, right? So he's like, Moses is like, everybody's dying. What's happening? God's like, man, this party's going to be, it's it. I mean, invite everybody. It's going to be on. It's on. Woo! It's going to be. Let's talk about the food. He's like, talk about the food. Death is coming. And you invited him. That's a problem. Oh, the food's going to be good. Every year in that land that you're going to be living in, that new house, it's going to be. We're slaves in Egypt and death is coming. Focus. I don't hear you. And you know, God's got his thing. Here's what's interesting. Before God tells him how to avoid the death, he tells him the party he's going to have after the death comes and doesn't affect them. Let me tell you, when you come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, he opens up dreams and visions and plans, just like we talked about last week. He starts giving you what's coming ahead, what's going to happen, and gives you no plan of fulfilling it. He wants to birth within you hope for something better. I was in prayer with God. It was just yesterday, right? I called you up. I was just in prayer talking to Jesus, just loving God, you know, and he kind of just by his spirit came in the room and we're just having we were having a conversation. And I'm like, you know, hey, what's up? Can you help me get a stage? Because we don't got one. And he's like, let's talk about the music that's going to be happening. And I know at this point, you know, he's in charge. So, all right, we'll talk about the music. And he starts just bringing visions and dreams and starts breathing on things that I thought of even years ago. He's like, here's what you're going to call it. And here's what's going to happen. And here's what you're going to tell the people. And here's how we're going to blow that up. And here's how it's going to... I'm like, oh, cool. Let's dream like that. Is there a stage somewhere in that? Anywhere in there. Guess we're not on that. He's like, I'm not talking about that right now. I'm like, okay, you know? So here's what's really cool. God is starting to talk to him about, you know, what's going to happen when the plague comes. And he says, listen, here's what I want you to understand. When death passes you by, everything's new. The first step in your day of deliverance, salvation. Write that down. Number one, salvation. So many people say, you know, I want to come to your church, pastor, but I got so much going on in my life. I got this sin. I got these issues. I got these. I say, I understand that. And the reason you got that stuff is because you ain't saved. No, pastor, I grew up in church. Well, that's wonderful. That's lovely. I'm glad your church is probably happy about that. But you ain't saved. I'm in a cafeteria right now. Don't mean I'm in elementary school. You ain't saved. Your deliverance from your past begins with salvation. Check this out. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 7, he says, here's what you're going to do. You're going to get a lamb for everybody. Exodus 12, verse 7, he says, then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorposts on every house that they eat from. And in verse 13, he says, everywhere there is this blood, death shall pass over. Here's what God said. There's going to be this almost like a fog, like a mist. The spirit of death is going to come across Egypt. But I don't want to kill those people who follow me. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to get a lamb and you're going to slaughter it. You're going to cook it and you're going to eat it. You're not going to save none of it. You're going to burn it all. But the blood from the lamb, you're going to put over the doorposts. And wherever I see that blood, I'm going to pass by. I'm going to pass over. The New Testament Bible says that Jesus is the Lamb of God. When you get that blood from that lamb and you apply it to the doorposts of your heart, death comes and passes right by. You were in death, but Jesus said, oh no, I'm coming with, oh no, no, that one's got the blood on it. I'm moving by on that one. Oh, death is coming. Here, I'm going to do, oh, he's got the blood. I tell you what, the enemy tries to come in my house. I say, oh no, 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 no. I got the blood right here, baby. You got no authority here. I ain't wrestling with you. I ain't struggling with you. We ain't having an argument. You got to go. The blood covers this one, baby. My daughter, no, you can't have that one. The blood is covering her right there. You can't. Oh, no, that's my wife. Uh-uh, the blood is covering that one. Right. My finances, you can't come in that. I got the blood on that one right there. Oh, no, 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 no. Addiction ain't coming in my family. The blood is covering that one right there. You see, when you get that blood and you cover the doorpost, death has to pass you by. Amen? Come on, give glory to God. See, there's so many people trying to access the promises of God and trying to access the goodness of God. And they're trying to do it through rituals, trying to do it by going to church, trying to do it by saying the right things and wearing the right clothes. And Tracy and I had a cousin who was looking for a church, and she had come from a kind of a casual church, and she was visiting, looking for a new church. And she went to a church kind of dressed like we dress, but went to a church where it was kind of dressy. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to say nothing about nobody, but you know, they wear the stuff, you know, the stuff, shiny stuff and stuff, you know, the church clothes. And I said, how was it? She goes, well, you know, I was dressed like this. So they were trying to witness to me. I said, but you're a prophetic intercessor. You know, you were head of a ministry team. Spirit didn't agree. She said, not the spirit didn't agree. I'm gonna leave that one alone. I tell you what, you can, T.D. Jakes and Creflo Dollar come out with their own clothing line. You can put on them clothes and it still ain't gonna get you saved. You need to put on the cloak of righteousness that comes from Christ Jesus. Amen? There is no other way to the Father but through the Son. The doorway to salvation is not that door right there. Hear me. The doorway to salvation is not the front door of my house. The door to salvation is not from First Church of the whatever, Nazarene, Bethel, you know, whatever. That ain't the door. Jesus is the doorway to salvation. You ever meet someone who got saved sovereignly by God but ain't been to church and on our fire for Jesus? Don't know how to say nothing right. Don't know none of the lingo. Ain't read the Bible, but they encountered Jesus. You ever have that happen? My God, let the Spirit of God fall in a room. I've ministered to people, the glory of God fell, and they start quoting scripture to me. And they're like, you know, I had this vision, and I saw a horse with people on it, and people were scared, and the guy was riding the horse in the sky, and isn't that crazy? I'm like, crazy enough to be in the Bible. Crack it open, baby. You're going to like it. If you're dealing with some issues today, I want to give you an invitation at the end of service today. Death is reigning in your life because the blood is not over your doorpost. I don't care what thing you quoted in a church service. I don't care. It don't matter. I mean, I could write something on a board up there and we can all say it. And if that's what got people saved, I'd put it on a billboard on 995. That's what I would do if I thought that was the doorway to, but it's not. You have to have faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have to believe that He died on a cross for your sins and that you trust in Him to bring you life. That is a doorway to salvation. So God said to these folks, guess what? Here's what you're going to do to keep death pass by. And I'm going to let you know, the reason He did that is because He knew Jesus was going to come. He was going to send His son Jesus. And this is a prophetic symbol. So you would know, here is the way to avoid death. It's not be really good. It's not work really hard. It's not say the right things. It's not dress really good. You got to have that blood covering your doorway. The second step, number two, deliverance. Listen, people get saved. They recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord. All right, let me say this. Verse 31. Check this out. He said, the Pharaoh, check this out. The death came and killed all the firstborn. Y'all know how loud it must have been that night? That must have been kind of crazy. Death everywhere. Pharaoh called, he says, 31. Then he summoned Moses and Aaron by night and said, up. Go out from among my people, both you and the people of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Now, death could have passed over your house, and you could have been like, well, I'll just stay here. Death has passed over me. I'm happy right here. How many of you know they were no less a slave at that moment than they were before? They were still slaves in Egypt. And a whole bunch of people come to the church, come to the altar, confess Jesus Christ, and go right back to the same nonsense they came out of. How come God ain't doing nothing in my life? How come I'm still dealing with these issues? How come all these bad things are happening to me? I thought Jesus would fix it all, but here I am still in a crack house smoking out. Well, that might be the problem. I don't smoke out in a crack house. You know why? I don't go to crack houses. Tracy has never found me at 2 o'clock in the morning with another woman. You know why? Because I don't go anywhere at 2 o'clock in the morning with other women. That's a complicated thing to some people. Glory to God. Amen? Glory to God. Come on. And I ain't trying, baby. I tell you what. I got enough drama in my life. I don't need that. Thank you, Lord. Check this out. In 2 Peter, he says it this way. By his divine power, he's granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, Jesus can save you, cover you in the blood. Death passes you by, but you haven't passed by death. You know the verse that says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of darkness. Anybody remember that? He's walking through the valley of the shadow of darkness. He ain't staying there. Some of you, when Jesus Christ comes and puts that blood on your doorpost and death has to pass you by, you just kind of chill out there in the midst of it. And eventually, the devil finds new doors into your house. Y'all hear what I'm saying? God, by his, oh my goodness, by his awesome power, made it easy for them by saying, I'm going to cause problems for the people who don't release you. So the Pharaoh said, get out of my country, because I now know you follow God and it's going to cause me problems. When I got saved, I didn't have a real big problem with all the lost people in my life, because I actually got covered in the blood of the Lamb and I decided I was going to share that. And some people came with me and some people said, you need to get out of my house. I'm tired. Your righteousness is bringing conviction on my life and I'm not enjoying it. So I now need you to leave. And I'm like, all right, dust my feet off and I'm out. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Do I need to rephrase that? Is anybody understanding this? Let me say it this way. Some people get saved and they become Bible thumpers. You ever heard that phrase? Bible thumpers? Just people say, you're not one of those Bible thumpers, are you? I'm like, oh yeah, I got a big one right in the car. You're a bottle thumper. That's the problem with you. I'm a Bible thumper. You thumping Marlboros? I'm thumping the Word of God. You get to choose. And what God does is when you get saved and you get touched by the power of God and you get delivered and you give your life to Jesus, he takes you out of that nonsense and you say, wow, look at all these morons living in sin. Look at these people who just aren't bright enough to see that God has a better plan for them. I know what I'll do. I'll tell them about it. Hey, guess what? If you give your life to Jesus, you don't have to live the messed up life that you're living right now. Oh, you say my life is messed up? Yeah, I mean, that's, yes, yeah, I mean, uh-huh. As a matter of fact, lost people can see that your life is messed up. Your family thinks your life is messed up. I mean, I'm just trying to say, and if you go, and so you just start preaching to people. I tell you what, that's the Holy Ghost at work on the inside of you. And here's what happens. Those who want to follow God are like, I'm with you. Help me get deliverance. Those who don't want to follow God say, you need to get up out of Egypt. You ever do something and someone says, I thought you were a Christian. You're like, oh, well, Christians smoke sometimes, you know, I mean, what do you, well, just because I'm a Christian doesn't mean I can't drink in the club. Oh yeah, there's a term for that. It's called backslidden. Yes. Can I give a little aside here? People say, you know, I want to rededicate my life. That ain't in the Bible. Here's what it's called. Repent. I'm going to repent of my sin and give my life to Jesus. If you're lost today, if you've never had Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, if you've never met him and you're not at that place of salvation, I tell you, at the end of service, we're going to give you an invitation. You're going to come down here. You're going to receive Jesus Christ in your life and you're going to get saved. If you used to walk with God, but you know better than how you're living right now, what we call, you're in sin. And what you're going to do is you're going to repent and you're going to come forward and we're going to lay hands on you. You're going to receive Jesus and you're going to come out of your sin. Amen? You need deliverance. Delivered out of the rebellion that you're in right now. Here's where the church gets it wrong so much. Jesus did not die on a cross so you can live better. He did not die on a cross so that you can keep the law. He didn't die on the cross so you can learn how to act right. That's not why he did it. He didn't die so that you can't have fun. He didn't die so that you can be the person with the rule book. He didn't die so that you can look at everybody else and wag the finger. He didn't die so that you can live a miserable life. God, he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on a cross because you've been called to his glory and excellence. You have been called to abide in his glory. And sin cannot abide in the glory of God. It can't happen. If you got sin and the glory comes, it will kill you. I mean, that's good news. He said, listen, I originally created them to walk with me in the garden, and now they can't because there's sin. And I covered them with animal skins for a long time. I covered their sin. Remember right in the garden, he stitched together some animal skins. That was the original sacrifice for the covering of sin. But later on, he sent his son Jesus Christ, where it says the blood of bulls and rams cover sin, but the blood of Jesus washes it away. Glory to God. So he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross, not just so that you can be good, not just so that you can act right. He sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross so he can wash away your sin. You can walk in freedom and live a life with Jesus in his glory. I don't want to have to go to church to experience God. I don't want to have to say, oh, Sergio, I'm not feeling so good. Can you quote some scripture to me? I don't want to live that way. I mean, if that's what it takes, that's what I'll do. I want to live a life where I wake up in the morning and the Holy Ghost is waiting for me. What's happening, Carl? Hey, yo, let's do it. Come on, man, I'm ready. That's what I'm talking about. That's how I want to live. I want to live a life where I go to God and I don't wonder if he's hearing me. I don't want to lift up prayers and say like, Lord, if it's your will, you know, save my grandma. If it's your will, like, I don't know what he wants. Like he's some deity in another country that I've never met before. Well, President of France, if you want some Pop-Tarts, I mean, that's not how I'm living. My son says to me, I say, Isaac, what you want for breakfast? He says, the usual. Oh, what you mean, the usual? This ain't Denny's. What you talking about? He's like, what I have every morning. Come on, you know. Because my son assumes that we know each other. I'm not meeting him every day. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I know him. He knows me. And I'm just a natural father. Every holiday, he wants to buy me a new coffee mug. And he don't have to say, Daddy, if it's your will to drink coffee. He's like, no, he likes coffee. Let me get him one of these right here. And I'm like, why coffee all the time? Thank you, by the way. I'll be using that. Because he knows me. He never says, you know, Dad, if it's your will, I'll clean the bedroom. If it's your will, I won't light the living room on fire today. If it's your will, Mom, if it's your will, can you bring some dinner today? You don't have to ask that. My 9-year-old son doesn't have to say, who's going to cook today? Who's going to make dinner? Do I have to do it? Who's going to pick me up from the bus stop? Do I have to find somebody? No. He knows I got him. He knows I got him. And I tell him, look, son, if you get off the bus and I'm not there, don't go nowhere. You stay right there because I'm going to show up. It's not possible that I won't come and get you. And I'm a natural father. I'm not the heavenly father. Jesus said, if your earthly fathers give good gifts, how much will your heavenly father give the Holy Ghost to them who ask? I pray for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh, Lord, please give me. I said, no. He already said all you got to do is ask. I've never once gone to the gas station and said, here's $20 for gas. Here's none of my. Here's $20 more. Here's $20 more. Can I get $20 worth of gas? Here's $20 more. Do you do that? I've never paid my bill like 6 times. Oh, I'm at Burger King. I'd like a number 4. How much is it? $5. How much do you want me to give you? $5. Here's 30. Can I get it? 5 is all you need. I don't see it yet. I don't see my food yet. Here's $5 more. You know, just it's coming. I'm here to let you know it's coming. I'm here to let you know it's coming. You got off the bus and he wasn't there. He's coming. Y'all hear what I'm saying? He is coming. You ain't alone. Juliana had the testimony. Why am I all by myself? God's like, you ain't been by yourself since you called on my name. I've been walking with you ever since, every step of the way. Right now, it's just going to be me and you. But we walking, daughter. It's just going to be me and you just walking. I'm here to let you know. You've been in the fire. You've been in the trials. You've been overcome with the enemy. And you feel like you can't get fruit. I'm trying to let you know Jesus is coming. He is on the way. You are not by yourself. You are not going to be given over. The blood of the Lamb covers your doorpost. And not only that, he's not going to leave you in the midst of your trials. He's bringing you out. He's bringing you out today. Can you say, thank you, Jesus? He's bringing you out. Come on. He is bringing you out. He gave him a little instruction as he was bringing him out. He said, listen, I'm killing all the firstborn. And we're going to have this little party, but here's what's going to happen. You're not going to have any leaven in your bread. I'm like, what are you talking about? No leaven in the bread. Leaven's interesting in the word. I mean, they use it a lot, but you ever eat bread? I mean, you've eaten bread, right? You ever notice bread's got these little holes in it? Dough doesn't have holes, the bread does. You ever think about the, I don't know where the holes come from? So here's what happens. There's this little stuff in the dough. It's called leaven, right? Or yeast. It's a type of leaven. and it kind of ferments. And as it does, it's a living organism, and as it kind of eats stuff in there, it gives off gas, like some of you, you know, gives off a little gas. And that's what causes the little, why are some of y'all pointing at other people? That just ain't right. My kids say, you got to say code red. You know, like, code. How about just not do it? You know what I'm saying? Just code white. What's code white? That was a bad one. Oh, good God. Just go to the bathroom, would you please? But we, but you know, it takes a while. Here's what's kind of cool. All you need is a little bit of leaven to make your whole dough leavened. Follow me here. The way they make sourdough is what they do is they keep a little piece of dough to the side that's been leavened, and they just wrap it in a moist cloth. Then they make some more dough, and they get that leaven, they put it in with their dough, and they just mix it all together. And if you have any leaven in the dough, it'll take over all the dough. Okay? Now, you can take old bread that has a leaven in it and mix it in, and it just multiplies in there. Or you can get your flour and your water and your salt, and you can mix it up, and you leave it a couple days. Hear this. Leave it a couple days, and there's just leaven spores in the air. And eventually, they'll, you know, start feeding on the flour, and it begins to multiply, and your bread gets leavened that way. And so what the Bible says is, when they got kicked out of Egypt, they didn't have time to let their dough get leavened, so they got brought out into the desert with unleavened dough. And they had to cook their dough into bread, and it's flatbread, right? So almost every other time in the Old Testament they talk about leaven, they say, you know, sin is like leaven. A little bit of sin, you know, corrupts your whole body. There's no little sin. All I'm doing is smoking out, Lord. Doesn't that mean you were cool? You know, it's like, no, that's bad. You know, let's not do that. But hear this. When God delivers you, when you're in the process of deliverance, he don't want you bringing any of that junk with you. God said, listen, none of that living junk from Egypt is coming with you. Here's what's going to happen. I don't even want the leaven spores coming with you. You're going to go out into the desert. I'm delivering you from here, and you're going to pick up something new over there, but this junk is going to stay here. When God delivers you, it's time to say, you know what? All that old junk got to stay back in Egypt. None of that stuff is going to be useful in my new life. And that's where most people stumble. That's the stumbling block right there. Jesus always gives you an opportunity to choose. He says, son, I'm going to deliver you from this nonsense. I'm going to deliver you from this sin. I'm going to deliver you from this addiction. But what you got to do is you got to cut that person out of your life. But Lord, I want deliverance and that person. Why are you silent, God? He already spoke. I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to deliver you from this, but you got to quit doing that illegal thing. But Lord, how am I going to make money? I don't understand how am I going to make money? Oh, he's not saying anything. I guess it's okay. No, he already spoke. He already spoke. But Lord, I can't go to church. I work on Sundays. So, you need to come fellowship with believers. But Lord, I make a lot of money on Sundays. How come I don't hear nothing now, God? Oh, I guess it's okay. No, it ain't okay. When you get delivered, the Lord gives you the ability to walk free of that sin. He gives you everything you need, but now you have to choose that you want it. You got to say, what is more important to me? That girl who's taking me to hell or freedom? And I have people, oh, but Pastor, I don't know. I just love her so much. Ain't that the girl who got you arrested? And I got to tell you, if your people aren't getting arrested, you ain't reaching the lost. I'm just going to put that out there. But, you know, Pastor, this is all, and you don't understand how great this is. Oh, no, I see how great it is, dog. It ain't that good. Let me just let you know. But, Pastor, they won't think I'm cool anymore. And I say, glory to God. But God gave me a vision, and I'm going to do this. And I'm like, I don't think God's going to give you a vision of sin. I just don't, it don't align up with the word. That was your pride and lust that gave you that vision. If it don't line up with the word, it ain't God. That's why you need a pastor to help you out. You want to walk in freedom? Some of y'all got to give some stuff up. Some of you got to give a lot of stuff up. I'm not going to give you some lie that, you know, you just come to the Ford and we'll just be a happy little church singing little cute songs and it's going to be happy, happy, joy, joy for the rest of your life. It don't work like that. This ain't that kind of church. This ain't a church where you're going to come and we're going to have a bowling league and we're going to sing Kumbaya and then we're going to go to the club together on Tuesday. That ain't going to happen here. That ain't what we're doing. You see, we're not here to build a church. I'm not here to see how big a congregation I can have. I'm not trying to get the big building. I'm here to raise up revivalists. I'm here to raise up people who will preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, who will bring revival to South Florida, who will walk in victory, who will walk in a room and say, you know what? Guess what, y'all? The kingdom of God has just shown up on the scene. I'm here. Those who want to be saved, you can be saved right now. That's the people I'm trying to raise up. That's who I'm trying to be. Who are you trying to be? If you want to be a cute little happy clappy church, you know, there's a bunch of them in Delray. There are a bunch of them in Delray. People say, oh, pastor, are we going to do this? I say, no. But we did that at my old church. I'm like, I bet they're still doing it. You know, if you want to be more than happy to have you a part of it. Pastor, we want to do this performance thing. We don't perform at the mission. We don't do no performing here at all. We worship Jesus. If it ain't worship, we ain't doing it. But I used to do these cute little dances. And I was like, oh, I bet your mama loved it. Do it for mama, you know. We're going to have the kids out and sing at Christmas? Not unless they get really good and saved. If they ain't saved and good, ain't going to happen. You ever been to a church and you got all these heathen youth up there doing dances ministering? And I'm like, good God, that's a mission field on stage right there. I was talking to a middle school pastor one time and he's like, I got 70 people in my youth group. I said, any of them saved? Are any of them saved? I would brag only on how many you got saved in your youth group. Don't tell me. I mean, Lil Wayne's the best pastor in America, if you want to talk about it that way. I'll leave that one alone. Number three, I'm just turning the page. I have so much more I can say on that, but I'm not going to. Number three, good God, help me, Jesus. Glory. Somebody say glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Oh. Move on. We don't have unsaved people ministering at the mission. We just ain't going to do it. Is that all right with y'all? Ain't no one going to hold a mic who's in sin. You ain't catching a demon at my altar. I mean, I don't care if you're my uncle, my stepson, my nephew, my best friend. I don't care if you paid for the building. You ain't ministering on a microphone here if you living in sin. It ain't going to happen. Love you. Believe God will restore you. Ain't going to happen. Ain't gonna happen. But pastor, I sing real good. Well, ask Keisha Cole, she's hiring, because you ain't ministering here. I mean, come on, gotta stop. I ain't telling nobody they saved if they ain't saved. You know what I'm saying? If you bound in sin, guess what? You probably ain't saved. I mean, all right, I got visitors here. Let me just move on. We a happy church. It's just happy, happy, you know? We happy, happy. Man, I got to move on. Somebody pray for me here. Pray for me. I'm moving on. My wife is telling me to move on. Here we go. Not you. Oh, that was your wife. Glory. All right, we get saved and we get delivered. But God don't leave you out there by yourself. You know what the third step is? Baptism of fire. I think it's really cool that God didn't take Moses and his people out of the desert. It says they brought out 600,000 men plus their women and children. That's a lot of folk. That's a lot of folk. And they came out into the desert and he didn't leave them. That's good news right there. Glory to God. But not only did he not leave them, he didn't just drop a little map. You know, and say like, you know, take 400 paces this way and then go left. You know, he didn't do that. He says, here's how we finna do this. At night, I'm just going to have some fire. And during the day, it's going to get hot. I'll bring a cloud. You follow the cloud and you'll follow the fire. You see, Jesus said, it's better that I go because I ain't going to leave you alone. But I will send the Comforter. He'll teach you all things you need to know. See, the fire of God will come. And his shadow of protection will be there. He ain't going to let you get burnt out there in the wilderness. He's going to cover you. You see, we come out of our sin, and so many, even in this room, you've lived a life like me. I didn't get saved until my mid-20s. You got this life that you're doing really good, and you meet Jesus, and everything changes, and you find yourself just like the Israelites in between two worlds. I'm not in Egypt where I used to be, but I ain't in the promised land either. I got an army behind me, and I got a big old body of water in front of me. What am I supposed to do now? You ever get saved and be like, I don't know what to do now. I need some help. I'm here to tell you, and people call me all the time, Pastor. I don't know what to do. What do I say? Pray in tongues. All the time, Pastor. Should I do this? Should I do that? Pray in tongues for an hour and let me know what he says. Did you pray in tongues for an hour yet? Do that. He'll talk to you. He'll talk to you. You see, we're not left alone. We're not just left with a man. We're not just left with Moses. See, the Moses system died with Jesus. See, the Moses system was this. There is a man who is in between God and me. And if I want to hear what God is saying, I need to go to him. I need to go to the prophet. I need to go to the priest. In the Catholic Church, they have the altar up there, which is a symbol of the Old Testament Ark of the Covenant. And the priest stands in between the people and the ark. And the people who have not been consecrated don't go up there. But I'm here to let you know, Jesus Christ is your only mediator between God and man. And he said, check this out. You're going to need to talk to me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to drop a little phone line for you. I'm going to drop it in your pocket. And whenever you need to call, you just bust it out. And it's the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you. Some people are like, I don't know how to hear God. I don't know whatever. I'm like, man, I got his cell phone number. I got it on number one. I pray in the Holy Ghost and I'm connected. I got direct connect. You see, you got landline. You're sending off little letters. And if it's your will, God, if you're with, nah, bust that. I read the word. I got the Holy Ghost on the inside of me. He didn't leave me in the desert. If you're living in the desert right now, I'm here to let you know there is a fire of God dwelling at the altar of God, and he wants to fill you with his spirit so you're no longer just wandering in the desert. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. I don't know what he wants from me. I tell you what, you get filled with the Spirit of God, and this word will begin to talk to you. It ain't just some words on a paper. You will flip it open, and the Lord will speak. Get out from among them. Oh, glory to God. I guess I'm leaving them behind. I tell you what, when the Holy Ghost dwells on the inside of you, it's just like that fire in the desert at night. I don't know where to go, Moses. I don't know. He's like, you see the big burning fire? Uh-huh. Follow that. Okay, that makes sense. Moses, why am I burning up? I don't understand. I follow God. I got saved. I got delivered. But right now, the sun is burning me up. I'm out here in the desert by myself getting burnt. And he's like, see the cloud over there? Uh-huh. Get under it. Oh, okay. Oh, that feels better. Glory to God. People, Pastor, I don't understand why there's all this drama in my life. You know, my life is so miserable. My life is so blah, 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 blah. I was like, well, what'd you deal with before you got saved? Well, I had these emotional issues, and I had this depression, and I had this anxiety. Uh-huh. What sin did you have? And you're like, well, I was drinking a lot, and I was partying, and I was hanging out with guys that I wasn't married to. You doing any of that stuff now? Uh-huh. Getting the same fruit? Uh-huh. I got a spiritual word for you. Stop it. Work that out. Get back to me. Galatians 6:7, it says, do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. Whatever you sow, you will reap. And if you're a Christian, when you're a Christian, there's power in your seed when you're a Christian. When you're not saved, you're just throwing seed everywhere. But the moment you get saved, your seed is anointed. And it grows even more. That's why someone can dabble with sin when they're not saved. Get saved and start dabbling in sin. The most fertile women in the world are Christians who are single. Single Christian women are the most fertile women in the world. You can mess around when you ain't saved. You get saved, mess around, they busting out babies. I mean, because you're fertile. I'm here to let you know. Some of the older women here know what I'm talking about. You say, oh, where are all the pregnant women at? In the church, in sin. Oh, there you go. Come on. Well, I thought I could play. Nope, you save. It don't work like that no more. You in the new covenant. I don't understand why. You know, you ever meet someone? No, I just tell you like it is. I meet people. They get delivered from sin. They get saved. They go back into that same sin where it used to bother them a little bit. Now they're given over to it. Like, well, you ain't got no grace in your life for sin no more. You need to stop it. If that's you, you need to stop it. If you're not saved, he'll give you power to stop it. Here's the good news. Jesus already won the battle. Y'all hear me? Jesus won the battle. You're not on your own. The Israelites did nothing to get out of Egypt. They didn't do nothing. They didn't even leave on their own. They got kicked out. Some of you are stuck in bondage right now. Hear me. You're stuck in bondage. You think there's no way for you to get free. There's no way that this is ever going to stop. There's no way that your life can be better. There's no way. What do I have to do, Pastor? Just tell me. Here, I'm here to let you know. Jesus already did the work. You need to just get under it. You see, all they did was they slaughtered the lamb and they put the blood. That's all they did. Death passed them by. They didn't rebuke death. Death passed them by. God killed the firstborn. They didn't say, "Now we're out of here, Pharaoh." No, no, no. They said, "Good, get out of Egypt." Some of y'all need the enemy to tell you, "Get out of my house." Y'all hear me? You're like, "How do I get free of this thing? It's got me in bondage." Well, Jesus will come and strike that thing, and it would repel you. The sin that had you in bondage will push you away because of the righteousness that lives on the inside of you. In the old covenant, if you touched something that was unclean, you became unclean. In the new covenant, if I touch something unclean, it becomes clean. The power's in me, not in the world. Y'all hear me? Praise God. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, Jesus. Glory, Jesus. Glory, Jesus. Glory, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. 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 King of glory, come. King of glory, come. King of glory, come. Hallelujah. 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 Come, Holy Ghost. I tell you, the Spirit of God is moving in here already. The Spirit of God is moving already. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to pray. Come on, come on, come on. Welcome in. I'm going to pray, and here's what's going to happen. The King of Glory is going to descend into this room. The Holy Spirit is about to descend in this room, and he's going to start setting some people free. Hallelujah. 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 Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Jesus, there's people in the room right now, bound. They're stuck in Egypt, Lord.